let's read together from 2 Timothy 3. Now, you have diligently followed my example, that is my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but the Lord rescued me from them all. Indeed, all who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be hunted down and persecuted because of their faith. But as for you, continue in the things that you've learned and of which you are convinced, holding tightly to the truths, knowing from whom you've learned them, and how from childhood you've known the sacred writings, the Hebrew scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Would you say that relationships are important in your life, a very important aspect of your life? If you think that way, I'm so sorry to tell you that you're mistaken. Relationships is not important. Relationships is all what it's all about. It's the core of reality. In a sense, God is relationship. John says God is love, which means that there's a connection between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's communication between them. And there's an exchange taking place between them. And it can only be described as love. And Paul says love never dies out or comes to an end. Relationships is what life is about. We have a lot of relationships. Now, in a relationship is a dynamic space between two people. Changes all the time. Differs in quality. You can have a relationship where it really gives you energy. The moment that you're with that people and there's just energy flowing. With other people, it could be very draining. The nature of relationships differ. The I-thou, your relationship with God, is a bit different than your relationship with other people, the I-you or the I-it with your dog or with nature. But they are important, but they're not equally important. Jesus taught that the most important relationship that there is in your life is your relationship with God. And to grow in that relationship, to establish that relationship, God has given us a lot of means. And we can look at it as means of grace through which we are empowered to grow in this relationship. And one of those means is a Paul. Now today, what is a Paul, why a Paul, and how a Paul? So first of all, what do we talk about if we say you've got to have a Paul in your life? Well, it means that you should have a relationship with someone that has the dynamic of a parental relationship. But it should be all about your walk with God, your faith. Paul writes this letter to Timothy and say, Timothy, my true son in the faith. Now, there's a lot of relationships that we have, one-on-one relationships, and perhaps one of the most biggest, most popular relationships that there are is the romantic relationship. We spend a lot of money, energy, thinking, whatever into establishing that type of relationship, that connection where that with that certain type of dynamic. Another very important relationship in the times that we're living is the therapeutic relationship, where there's pain, where things went wrong in relationships. And we pay a lot for just an hour's experience of the dynamic of a therapeutic relationship. We've got coaching relationships. It's all about where am I, who am I, where do I want to go with my life, how am I going to get there. Also very important, we've got the relationships with teachers, people that just teach us how to do things, with trainers, physically or with a music instrument, trainers. But a relationship with Paul is more like a mentor relationship. Now, mentor is from the Greek mythology. He was a friend of Odysseus, and Odysseus went on a trip and asked him for mentor to look after his son Telemachus and to look at his growth and his welfare. Now, it's like a surrogate father. That's the type of relationship that we are talking about. So the question is whether you are aware of the type of relationships that you have in your life, the dynamic that happens between you and other people. And if you have a relationship like this, it's all about your faith and your walk and your love for God. It was very important since the early church. I mean, that's the way Jesus operated. He chose 12 disciples and he spent time with them individually. When you read all the stories of the Bible that happened with Jesus. And the church built on that tradition. It was lost in certain parts of the church. I grew up in a tradition where I never heard of something like this. But today, the past few decades, in the evangelical world, it's become a big idea to have a spiritual director or spiritual accompaniment, somebody with which you share your life with God deeply. Now, you've been influenced in your relationship with God. You've got ideas of what it entails. What's it about to have a life with God? Who taught you? You are actually following someone at this moment. You might think, I do what I want to do and I will decide. But you've been influenced with ideas from other people, with what you've read, what you've heard, what you've seen. You are following someone. So who are you following? Who's shaping your ideas, your imagination? Who inspires you? Who are you following? It's important. Aristotle said, we owe our teachers more than our parents. Our parents gave us life, but our teachers gave us the good life. Who's giving you the good life? Second important thing is, a Paul is there to help you with your whole life. There are three big words that I want to leave with you. Facets, phases, and fitness. Facets. Paul talks to Timothy about all the facets of his life. And actually, he's actually helping him to facet. To look at the faceted aspects of his life. He talks about his teaching, his conduct, his purpose, his faith, his patience, his love. And he coaches little Timothy in how to handle failure, how to handle opposition, how to handle rejection. He teaches him about relationships, but his relationship with God. Timothy, what do you think about the Bible? Well, this is what the Bible is. This is what the Bible can do for you. This is how you should handle the Bible. He teaches him about his calling, about what he should do with his life, how he should go about, how to discover what God has given him and how to live it out. He actually, we can say, help him to go deeper, closer, and further with his life. That's facets, now phases. Paul introduces us to a concept that life is facets, phases, and you are going through certain phases in life. He talks about babies, and he's referring to young believers, people that just decided to follow Christ. And he tells Timothy that for those people, you should give everything, you should help them, because they're in a phase of life where they've got to get a life. But you're a child, and in our language, we would rather say a young adult now, and you've got different challenges in this phase of life where you are at now. You've got to get your life together. You've taken responsibility for your life. And he reminded Timothy about the passage that he assisted him in with, where he accepted responsibility for the new life that he had to live. It went, there was a ritual. They prayed together. He laid his hands on him because he was taking responsibility and he's entering a new phase of life. He talks to Timothy about the older people, about what's important for them in their phase of life. Well, it's the phase of life Paul was in. He was at the end of his life. And it was, and what it was all about to him was not so much to get his life together like Timothy, but to give his life away so that others could benefit from his death. What the imagination. And it's so important for us. And I think also something that a lot of people are not aware of or don't have. I was brought up with the idea that you work hard so you can get to a place where you have enough money to retire. And then it's a wonderful place to be. That's the last phase of your life. And then you just enjoy it by doing whatever you want, whenever you want to do it. That's life. But for me, now, I think it's like having icing without the cake. It won't last. It's not real life because it's not the way that we are made. It's not what God is calling us to do in that last phase of our life. Then the other word is fitness. Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Don't try to be godly. Train to be godly. Like everything in life, if you want to be able to do it, you've got to train. You don't try to run the comrades. You train for the comrades. It's strange that we would think it's important in relationships, emotionally, physically, training is important. But when it comes to our life with God, with our life of faith, training is not important. It is. Before you can forgive your enemies, you have to be able to forgive the little offenses in the family. That's where you train so that you can one day run the comrades when you have to do it. So he's training him in a way of life and he's giving him certain practices that's appropriate for him where he is in his life. The last commandment of Jesus, Matthew 28, according to the messages, train them in a way of life. Instruct them in a practice. To be a follower of Christ means to live in a certain way. And it means to have certain practices that's appropriate for you where you are in your life right now. The last important thing is posture. Now, how do I get a Paul in my life? a last book that I've read had about 40 requirements and characteristics of a coach, of a Paul. You won't find somebody that easily that way. You should rather look at the relationships that you have. The Paul is there. What's happening in the relationships? And if you don't have a relationship where your heart starts burning when you start talking about God naturally with that person is a bit older, older in the faith, can be younger physically, but where experiences are exchanged and your spirit is just ignited, you should go around and look around. Talk to the older people. Ask them and see what happens. It's what happened to me. I was looking out there for years for a mentor, for somebody that would be. And one day suddenly I realized, but I've got a few people. And it's happening in that relationship. I just acknowledged it and asked them. Of course, they have more experience. They can articulate their faith. They want to share. And it's important for them that Christ be formed in me. They've got a motive to do something like that. But I think more important than finding the right person is, who do you become? Paul says, you've become my follower. Are you willing to become a follower? And to become a follower means that you should actually open yourself up, empty yourself, so that you can be teachable. That's more important. In the culture that we are living, we're so pragmatic and that's not working for me. That's what I want. That's more what should I become. Like Jesus. We know so little about Jesus. The first 30 years of his life, it's said that they found him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, both listening to them and asking them. The main posture that enabled Jesus to minister the 3 years and to live the 3 years doing his ministry, sitting, listening and asking questions. So, to end with today, who are you following? And what is your need right now? You know, you might be just one connection away from the place where you are now stuck at. You're one connection away for a new growth curve in your life. If you know what I need. And who do I have to ask? They are there. God sends the people our way. We thank Him for that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the life that You've given us. Thank You for the means of grace in our lives. Thank You for sending people our way. Help us to see them, to acknowledge, to ask, to open up our lives to other people so that we can grow. If we're at a place of pain today, we ask that You would lead us, You would help us so that we can reach out to others so that You can help us through them. We thank You for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Amen.